Hey everyone, welcome back to Citywide Blackout, your home for music, movies, and more. I'm your host, Max Bowen. Well, he's back, folks. Brandon Stoner, guitarist and vocalist for the band Thieves and Lovers, returns to talk about some of their highlights of 2019, which includes the release of the single Don't Think About Me. This song took the band in some really new directions, and we look at those, as well as some new things that they have in mind for the new year. Following this, I'm going to play you the band's entire EP, Down the Line. This includes Don't Think About Me, followed by Down the Line, and ending with Up at Night.
Is it only been a little while, but I'm now joined by Brandon Stoner from the band Thieves and Lovers, all the way down in Pennsylvania. Brandon, welcome back to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem, dude. You've definitely had yourselves a busy year. I wanted to first open with some of your highlights for 2019.
Highlights, yeah. 2019 was kind of crazy. Went through a bit of a divorce. Aww. So unfortunately, there were some things that were, sort of taking me away from focusing on music, but
sure.
Yeah, that's sort of where the I guess we only had one release in 2019, which was that Down the Line EP.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of jokingly refer to it as the divorce album, because that's sort of where the inspiration for those songs came from. But we did a little bit of touring and playing some regional stuff, but really focused more on being in the studio. And while we were actually working on that EP, actually we're lining up the next couple releases as well. So just trying to stay prolific, I guess.
Oh, definitely, man. Hey, you gotta stay busy. Now,
exactly.
When you guys kind of like hit like the end of like a calendar year, do you ever like look back on what like happened the year before and say, okay, how can we kind of like improve on that? What can we do like differently?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, with the holidays and then the, the New Year celebration, it's a great time to sort of reflect and sort of analyze, what went wrong, what went right, and use that as sort of motivation for the next year to hopefully make it a little bit better.
What do you see as some of your goals for the next year? Do you have anything in mind right now?
Yeah, we'd definitely like to be playing live more. This band's been going since about 2014. I've been a touring musician since about 2004, and things have definitely changed, not only with the sort of paradigm of the music business itself, but shows seem to be harder to get, harder to come by. So really it's just sort of, looking at those trends, the things that are happening within the industry, and trying to figure out a way to make it work for, each individual artist.
I definitely see that. One thing that I've seen, and I'm not too sure if this is like a definitive increase, but I've definitely seen, at least through my friends who are also musicians, there's a lot more folks who are doing like the different routes for shows. Like they're not just doing the traditional, like go to a venue, go to like a bar, that kind of thing. They're doing more like house concerts. They're doing more like coffee shop shows. They're kind of venturing into like the towns kind of around the big cities and seeing what the options they are.
Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting that you bring that up, because that's something that I've definitely noticed for us. The traditional sort of gig. It's changing. And house concerts, especially, there's also some organizations like SoFar. I believe they're called SoFar Sounds or something. But they actually, they're sort of like a booking promotional agency, but they sort of do exclusively those kind of like secret shows and house shows and stuff like that. So it's really cool to see that sort of popping up and as an alternative to the sort of bar setting, mm-hmm. bar and club setting.
Yeah. I've seen some people I know play at those shows, and I love the concept where it's like, okay, like a secret show. You remember, I'm not gonna tell you where it is. You got to like sign up for this thing. We'll tell you where it is.
It sort of adds some of the mystique,
yeah,
I guess, back
into,
because, back in like the 70s and the 80s, sort of, I guess, like the pre-internet era, you didn't have this immediate access to your favorite artists. Like there was that sort of, that whole mystery sort of surrounding it, which sort of added to the mythos of, being a musician. And I think that's cool that's sort of coming back, albeit in a different way.
The only way you could know about a show happening was if you were like either like friends with a band or friends with the friends of the band. So it was almost like part of the, you really had to be part of this like network, and then you found out, okay, they're, you know, playing this place at this day and this time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's not a bad thing that there's that sort of immediate access, because it, mm-hmm. it really does inspire, you know, fans to connect on a sort of a more personal level, but I guess it's sort of a, you know, it's two sides of the same coin.
It is like a nice little throwback, because I can remember going to some like basement shows when I was living in the Boston area.
Yeah, I actually did a lot of gigs like that when I was living in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Sort of when the band first started, and even playing in other bands. It was just that, like, there was like a lot of house parties and a lot of police presence, but yeah, everybody sort of knew everybody, and it also made it just the show overall better, because everybody was there to have a good time. Everybody sort of knew one another to an extent. There wasn't that sort of lack of attention that you can sort of have if you just show up at a bar and you're on a bill with three other bands that you don't know. You know, sometimes the audience, or at least not some of the audience, isn't, you know, paying as much attention as you might like being up on stage. And, you know, so
I definitely get that, because like there are some shows I'll go to and I'll see like half the people in the crowd are on their phones. I've definitely vented about this a bunch of times, but it's like, guys, if you're at the show, you paid to be there, put your phone away, take your picture, put the phone away.
Yep.
You don't need to be on Facebook. You don't need to be on you know, Instagram. You can check it later. It's fine. It'll still be there. And I do, and that's why I definitely like the concept of like out of house concerts, you know, what So Far Sounds is doing, because there's definitely a lot more interaction. There's definitely a lot more interest from everyone there.
Yeah. I mean, it really just makes it even so much more rewarding for the artists to, you know, to have that sort of, that I guess feedback.
Sure. Sure. Now, what's the scene in your area? Do you have like a lot of opportunities for these more like alternative style shows, or are you kind of stuck more with doing the more traditional kinds?
It's a little bit of both. So I'm sort of sandwiched between, a few metropolitan areas. I'm about a little over an hour from Baltimore, hour and a half from DC. Philly, Pittsburgh's about 3 hours either way. So I definitely notice in the DC Baltimore area, it's more, I would say it's more of those alternative kind of shows. But Philly and Pittsburgh, and maybe, I guess Pittsburgh's not as big as DC, but, Philly, Pittsburgh, at least that I've found, it's more the traditional like club kind of.
You also mentioned that you guys are working on some new EP releases too.
So we did the Down the Line album, which was really, really like alternative acoustic country kind of vibe. And that's sort of how the band started, that the sort of the acoustic rock thing. And then we did the last album, which I believe was the last interview that you and I did, was The World Is Sleeping.
Yep.
That one was more, we were going for more of an ambient rock, sort of like bigger production, a little glossier, I guess. You know, in light of doing the Down the Line thing, which was very, very rootsy and acoustic, you know, we had basically one rule, moving at least for the next release or two, and that would be no acoustic guitars.
Ooh.
So while, you know, a lot of the songs are still written on acoustic, it's going to be a lot more, rock oriented, more upbeat, faster songs, heavier songs, distortion, always just looking to evolve within sort of the framework of the band. But just looking to, you know, sort of do something new each time, as long as it's sort of, you know, within the realm of what works for us. Like we're probably not going to be releasing a death metal album anytime soon.
Oh, come on. Just one.
Although I do love metal. Yeah. But yeah, it's just fun to sort of play around with, you know, what we're capable of.
Exactly. Because it's not like you have to stick with like one particular style. It's not like you say, okay, the last album was like roots rock, so we'll just stick with that forever because that's what people liked before. Well, let's not try anything different.
Yeah, that can definitely get stale creatively. Mm-hmm. And we sort of have like a hybrid way of recording. I actually went to school for the recording arts, so I have, you know, my own stuff, and then we do what we can on our own, and then we'll go into studios and do certain things like drums and stuff, but it's more about, you know, fostering that creative spark, and also, you know, working within budget limitations, So if we have to go to a real studio, that's totally cool. And it definitely has its place. We definitely always finish up there. We end up there, but how we get there is sort of, can take many paths.
I get you. Now you mentioned, down the line a couple of times. I know that you have the new single out, Don't Think About Me, which we released last September, I believe, give or take. And that was that one I really dug, man. I really like the whole like tone of the song. You know, you're kind of like blending in a little more like blues and roots with this one. But I was curious as to like the story behind it, because this one, I think, I guess, kind of like reflects on the last year, right?
Yeah. So I guess originally it wasn't really intended to be an album.
Okay.
The title track, Down the Line, actually came first, and that was the first single that we released. And then in going through like other recordings and working on new songs, I realized that I had these two other songs that sort of didn't fit. I felt like I don't want to say they weren't complete enough on their own, but I felt like there was more of the story to tell. Mm-hmm. And I had the idea, hey, you know what, these kind of three songs sort of go together. And then I realized that they sort of bookend, again, going back to that, the end of that relationship and the whole divorce process.
Sure.
And sort of like coming from the emotional side. Mm-hmm. So the first song is Down the Line, and that sort of addresses that feeling that you get like as it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, realizing that a really important relationship is over. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a romantic relationship, but just, you know, losing a friend or something. And then the second song, which is Up at Night, is sort of like dealing with that aftermath. And then Don't Think About Me, which is the last song, would be sort of that closure element where you're sort of over the heartbreak kind of side of it. And you're sort of like, you know, like stiff upper lip. You're kind of moving on. You're like, you know what? You know, just don't think about me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is very hard to do, because I've been there. Whether it's like losing a relationship, losing a friend, it's very hard to say, okay, I'm walking away, I'm closing that chapter. You keep just going back to it because there's always something that maybe reminds you of something, or you think about that person for whatever reason. So it's, I think it's a wonderful thing if you can get that point, but man, it is hard to get there.
Yeah, and I think that's something that everybody can relate to on some level.
Yeah. Yeah. Do people ever like approach you to kind of ask about like what the songs are about, especially if they can really get like an ear for the lyrics? And
Yeah, all the time, actually. And that's one thing that I definitely, as the lyricist, I definitely try and, you know, tell a story. Lyrics have always been one of the things that really gets me for a band. Like, you know, I don't want to drop any names, but there's some bands that just their lyrics are a little weak.
Yeah.
And for me, that sort of, it doesn't have as much impact. So I've always been drawn to, you know, like really good lyrics, you know, like John Lennon, Bob Dylan, and newer artists like Brian Fallon from the Gaslight Anthem, just really like deep, sort of introspective lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, people ask that all the time. And I really like to share the story because, you know, that's one of my favorite things about playing music is that connection with people. And I know how many songs have helped me get through hard times. So it's just really awesome to think that, hey, maybe a song I wrote helped somebody else get through something difficult.
Definitely. Definitely. What are some of the songs that have really helped you?
So many.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, going back to Brian Fallon, he's one of my favorite, musicians that's, you know, still plugging away. Jimmy Eat World is probably mm-hmm. my favorite band of all time. And, they've definitely helped me in terms of like specific songs. It's hard to pick one off the top of my head that would maybe be more recognizable to large people. A lot of Fleetwood Mac stuff, actually. Yeah, it's hard to pick just one.
Right. Well, that's the thing is like the more music you listen to, the more stuff you experience. When people ask you, oh, hey, what's your favorite band? It becomes like, oh, geez, I can give you like 20.
Yeah, exactly. And it depends on when you're at.
I can't give you one.
Depends on when that question is posed to you, because it's going to change.
Yeah. I mean, it could be like, okay, who's my favorite this month or this week? It can change rapidly. You know, like there was another band I just started listening to earlier this week called Kath and the Kicks, and you know, kind of heard about them through like they had messaged me about one of their songs, listened to that, really dug it, listen to some more. And before I knew it, I'd gone through the entire album.
Catherine the Kicks. I'll check them out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm always looking for new artists.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it's me. Yeah, me too. And it's kind of funny because just like through doing this program, I get to meet tons of like new artists like yourselves. And so there's always a new favorite.
Yeah, and that's another awesome thing about, you know, with the way that streaming's come in and,
sure.
You know, the whole, you know, royalties issue aside, like it's never been easier to find a new artist. You know, every day I go to work, throw on Spotify for 8 hours and really just set it to random. And,
nice.
And just the fact that it's just that accessible is, I think it's really cool. And I know that other artists sort of at our level really like that exposure.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And we could certainly definitely criticize the shortcomings of like the streaming world in general. And certainly it has it, but I think every era of the music industry has had its ups and downs, shortfalls and strengths. But I definitely agree with you that it's really cool because now we get to hear artists from literally across the world, people that we would have never, ever, ever heard of ever before.
Yeah, absolutely.
With your upcoming EPs, you guys are going to be going in some different directions. Do you think you'll also be shifting gears in terms of the story?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing that I noticed with just sort of making a conscious effort to sort of change the style. I think the themes have also sort of changed. You know, it's easy to write sad acoustic songs over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, with trying to make more upbeat stuff, it's you know, that you can always pepper in even if it's shadowed references to like politics and things that, you know, humanitarian things that are going on in the world. Especially, you know, living in the United States, we have no shortage of inspiration there.
Yes, you definitely do. I was curious, when it comes to kind of like shifting your styles, how does that discussion usually go?
I mean, I think it comes pretty naturally. You know, being an audio engineer and a huge gearhead, sometimes it can be as simple as trying out a new guitar pedal or a new amp, you know, new sounds, just messing with knobs, going in, you know, something that you might have set to 3 or 4 normally, turning it up to 10. But yeah, generally it's usually start every rehearsal with like a freeform jam. Like, hey, I got this riff, let's see where we can take it. And, you know, there are no wrong answers. There are no bad sounds. And a lot of times it's really cool to not, because sometimes, you know, I'll bring in a song and like, hey, guys, here's the arrangement. Let me know what you think. But also to just have just a small piece of the puzzle and then just seeing what comes off the top of everybody's head, mm-hmm. I think is really cool.
Hey, I also want to ask, do you have any shows coming up in the near future?
We're actually working on booking out 2020 right now.
Oh, cool,
We generally don't play out in like January, February, because the weather is too unpredictable.
Yeah.
but it's also nice to sort of have that, you know, a couple months to sort of refuel and, you know, sort of plan your way through the year. Obviously, things change. Right now, we have a couple on the books. We're working on some festivals toward like spring and summer, some stuff in Pennsylvania, Ohio, pretty much keeping it regional. We've been wanting to hit up Nashville for a while, but you know, Nashville's a tough town. Plus it's kind of a mission to get there, but yeah, I mean, we're just going to try and do maybe sort of think out of the box and expand to some markets that we haven't hit before or haven't hit in a while.
And more folks are saying, I want to get down to Nashville, even if it's just for like a weekend to like play a show or just kind of jam on a street corner or find someone to kind of like collaborate with. People go down there for like a week and they'll come back and say, oh yeah, I was down there and I just collaborated with like this guy and this person. I got to play this show and this thing. It's this like musical playground almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Last time Thieves and Lovers did a show there would have been the summer of 2015. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I had ever been to Nashville. And I've pretty much been all over the United States. And I will say that Nashville was probably the most supportive, nurturing, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Seeing like, you know, New York and LA, it's great. The industry's there, big venues, lots of opportunity, but it can be very cold. And I lived in LA for 10 years, and I know that bass, like, there's that whole concept of, you know, artists helping other artists, like, hey, I got this show, want to show swap, or it's really sort of like everyone is just only out for themselves. And that's not negative, you know, everybody's, you know, on their grind, but I was very pleasantly surprised with Nashville. I got a show, I was walking from the car to the hotel, and I had my guitar with me because I didn't want to leave it in the car. And this guy's like, hey, do you play? And I was like, yeah. Oh, what's your band? And then we just sort of struck up a conversation. He's like, hey, I got this show slot available at this bar, wherever it was. He's like, you want to play? Like, didn't hear the music or anything. He's like, oh, what kind of music is it? Like, I had described it to him, but wow. So it was just like, yeah, like, you want to come play a show? And I was like, cool.
Yeah, I hear that all the time with Nashville. It's just this place where if you want to either grow as a musician or just get the chance to play somewhere new or work with some legends.
Yeah, I was there for probably about 5 or 6 days, and I also got to do like some songwriting in the round sessions.
Cool.
Which I'd never done before. And I thought that was really cool because it was like, hey, play me one of your songs. And then, you know, hey, this is an idea I've been kicking around. And then you sort of like co-write each other's songs. And there's really no goal. It's just really like, hey, it's just like trying to make the songs themselves better, which I thought was awesome.
Very cool. Now, the songwriter in the round, is that like a live show setting, or is it just you and the musicians just kind of hanging out and talking music?
It can be both. I did one where there was sort of an audience, which was, it was a weird vibe, not a bad vibe, but, most of the ones that I've done were, you know, just, it's sort of like an open mic, but there's no audience, and you're sort of literally like sitting in a circle of like folding chairs, and then you just jam together, or, you know, you present a song idea like, hey, I got this really cool verse, but I don't have a chorus. What do you guys think? And then, you know, people make suggestions, and it was really cool, very free form. But it was just really a really cool way to get another perspective on, you know, some songs that maybe you've been kicking around for a while, but they're not quite where you'd want them to be.
Now, it sounds like you've been basically all over the place, but I'm curious if there's an area that you have not yet ventured out to that is kind of on your like bucket list in terms of places you want to play at.
Yeah. So there's actually a few. I've never been to Chicago. And a lot of the publications and interviews just like this have come out of Chicago, so I'd love to hit that up. New Orleans as well, if only for the food.
Which really is reason enough.
Yeah, and that's another thing about Nashville, the food's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the Pacific Northwest, like Seattle, Portland, but pretty much everywhere else I've at least been to once.
Mm-hmm. I have been to Portland a few times. I definitely recommend it. It's a really different vibe, I think, from a city like Boston. Portland is a very like artist city. It's a really cool place to go to shows and meet people. It's a little more like chilled, I think, atmosphere. Plus, they have this place called Powell's Books. It's like a 3-story bookstore.
Oh, right on! I love bookstores.
I love that place. So if you get to Portland, check out like Powell's Books. You will not regret it.
Right on.
And Chicago, I've been to Chicago once before.
Yeah, I'd have to go probably in August.
Oh, really?
Those winters are just brutal from what I hear.
Yeah, you know, what you said earlier about taking like a couple months off, we definitely have that around here. Usually from like December to say April. It's like, okay guys, no more shows because we're gonna get buried.
Yeah.
You know, most artists just take those like 3 or 4 months off to either record or work on like new stuff, but you know, it's just too easy for a show to get shut down or for someone to get stranded.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you can make it to the show, if it's inclement weather, there's no guarantee that anybody else will be able to make it. So, I mean, it just complicates a lot.
All right. Well, Brandon, man, awesome talking to you, dude, as always. And where do folks go if they want to see, like, more of your music?
So we definitely have Spotify. That would probably be the best spot. Sure. We have a Bandcamp as well, and we actually have some sort of like deep cuts and some unreleased stuff on Bandcamp. So you can actually even get the very first record, which is not on Spotify anymore. And that one's called Closer. But then thievesandlovers.com, Instagram, and Facebook at Thieves and Lovers. And we also have a Twitter as well that we're trying to build up. Yeah, we just haven't had much traction on Twitter. And then sort of the whole concept of the platform has changed with the way that politicians have sort of weaponized it. But yeah, I mean, it's, we have one, we're trying to build it out, and it's definitely different. The way that, you know, Twitter works, and it's really cool how you can sort of have like back and forth conversations with people. And, you know, I guess going back to that whole, the way that instant access is sort of the name of the game now, I'd say Twitter is probably the best way.
Tell the tales. can't help but replay it inside of my head. Well, neither one could say it, so it burned out to the end. It could have been a good life, it died tonight instead. It hasn't been the same since it was laid to rest. Then those eyes, so haughty, tell the tales. The worst of what you wanted, and my best, it always fails. Well, it's too late now, it never was mine. Where's that last chance? Down the line.
Nighttime is burning,
candlelight, and it's turning to something it's not.